Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Saturday, February 7th, 2004. Today's session is entitled Grounded in Love, God Taking Me As I Am. Session 2 of the Women's Retreat, Grounded in God's Vision, led by Sister Mary Jo Chavs and Reverend Gloria Jost. Session number CHM 2004-02. Let's listen in.
It's God-breathed, and God delights in us paying attention to our dreams because they inform us of pieces of ourselves and pieces of our life journey that perhaps we haven't attended to before. In short, that's a teaching dream.
So you might ask yourself if you had any teaching dreams last night. If you're like myself, I have a very hard time remembering them, so I'm sure I was taught something, but I'm not sure. And we want to reassure you that if you have knitting or crocheting or any kind of handiwork that you want to bring to these sessions, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm sure bringing the looms upstairs, I think we'll be okay. And then some of you mentioned that, could you move your chairs around in here? You're more than welcome to do that. We sort of have you facing this way because we're going to show a video this morning. But after that, I think we have one more time we're showing a video. But you're welcome to move around because we move around a lot. And if you're sitting way in the back, sometimes it's a little hard to hear or a little hard to see. So, you know, just feel free. This is your home. And the scarves. Now, yesterday, as I was watching you come from that room over here, there were some of you that were just so excited. Oh, this is a wonderful scarf. I love to wear scarves. And others of you, scarves. Never worn a scarf, never going to wear a scarf. Can't make me wear a scarf. I know that myself because Gloria is a marvelous scarf person. She always has one on. I rarely wear one, so it's an adjustment to wear one. They're there for you to do whatever you wish with them. They are our gift to you. And as we said last night, you're more than welcome to exchange your scarf for another scarf at any point in time over the weekend. We'd like to tell you, you might say, how did we get all these scarves? Well, they all have a story, every single one of them. They come from many, many sources. But what happens is that we use scarves in lots of ways in our retreats. People see that, and then they start donating their scarves to us from their drawers. So that's why we have all these scarves. And Gloria is a marvelous, you know, go to the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store areas, and she finds bunches that way. And her mom, who lives in Illinois, found out about this, and she's collected all these scarves. So lots of stories behind every scarf. One story that's very special to me is I have an aunt who is presently has Alzheimer's, and so she's not recognizing anyone anymore. And that's been for a while. Her husband, my uncle, who just died very recently, was cleaning out his wife's things, and she was a perfect dresser. I mean, everything matched. She's one of these people that everybody looked at when she walks by, you know, one of those people that knows how to put everything together. And she had this plethora of scarves. So one Christmas, poor Christmas, my uncle gifted me, because he saw how much we use these, with all of her scarves. So some of you have those scarves on. So it's our gift, it's our way of saying you're special. We want you to be just wrapped in God's love. So however that works for you, please feel very gracious. And then one more announcement. Someone came to us last night and said, now I'm going to ask you a question. You can answer the question if you want to or not. We thought, okay, here comes one of those. And she said, you know this Catholic-Protestant thing we talked about? I don't know what was coming next. She said, is it all Catholic or is it all Protestant? I mean, are you sort of stuck in your traditions and, you know, there's no salvation outside this church or no salvation outside that church? And we said, of course not. We're all together. We're in this thing together. And if you found your way to Holden, that's probably what you believe. I hadn't spent a lot. I spent some time with Lutherans in the tradition in the various retreats we've done. But I must say I got a very strong exposure of that when I came here. It's delightful. It's just wonderful. Because you know, when you go to heaven, God isn't going to say, are you Lutheran, are you Catholic, are you Jewish, are you, you know, a Hindu, are you a Muslim? God's not going to say that. The only thing that God's going to say, and a wonderful theologian puts it this way, her name is Edwina Gately. She says, when you get up there, God's going to have this great big thermometer, huge thermometer. I'm going to put it in you and it's going to say, how hot are you? And the hotness has to do with how much love we've shared with one another. That's the hotness. That's the only question. Scripture tells us that. How much have we loved? Some of us find our homes in the Lutheran tradition. Some of us find our homes in the Catholic tradition. Some of us find our homes in the Mennonite tradition. Some of us find our homes in the Jewish tradition.
And some of us cannot find a home.
That's perfectly okay, too.
I heard a story about someone approaching Karl Barth and pointing to his bookshelf of books about the faith and saying, what is it exactly that you're saying in all of the writing that you've done? And he said, what I'm saying is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
There it is. So it's just, you know, it's putting all of that together. So feel very comfortable and know we are very comfortable. We're not out to convert anybody. That's God's job. Now, just a little bit of review, especially for those who weren't able to come yesterday, what we did last night. Well, we started out with talking about what a retreat is. And Gloria shared that it's kind of like going on vacation with God and with all of these other wonderful women who are here. There are only three things to do: eat, sleep, and pray. Not one-third, one-third, one-third. And, you know, it's not by chance that you're here at this time, in this place, with these women. It is not by chance. Nothing happens by chance. So a retreat is the opportunity to tie into that. A retreat is the opportunity to experience in a very concrete way who God is and who we are. St. Francis of Assisi said, "There are only two questions in life," and he would ask these every day: "Who are you, God? And who am I?" That's it. And one day, Teresa of Avila was praying, and she heard this voice. This voice said, "Who are you?" Teresa said, "Well, I'm Teresa of Jesus." And as only Teresa of Avila would do, and she said, "And who are you?" And the response was, "I'm Jesus of Teresa." Oh. That's who we are. And what we're here doing is discovering what that means. Who we are and who God is. We spent some time with our Holden experiences and what got us here in the past and presently. And then we did our scarf thing and we looked at our spiritual journey. We shared a bit of that with our small groups. And we came back and ended our evening with our theme song, Take or Take. Today, this in our first session this morning, we're going to be working with grounding in love. And that is where we're going to be thinking about God taking us just as we are. No more and no less, but just as we are. Emerson says, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." And that's what we will be spending our hour with this morning before our coffee break. Then after coffee break, we're going to move to what it means to be grounded in God's call. And there we will be summoning up what we shall be, each of us individually. And then this afternoon, you'll have the opportunity to participate in some crafts in any way that you wish. I think there was a sign up there sheet for the folding of boxes, which may have gotten folded. You may have to go ask Carolyn, the crafts person in the craft cave, which is the next floor down in this building, if you can work your way into that some way. She's most gracious, but there's a thousand things down to do down there in that craft cave if you haven't been down there. So the afternoon is very free to use it for whatever you wish to use it for. And then this evening we will be graced with a wonderful concert, a wonderful harp concert with Claudia and with Jerry and with Cassie and with Amy, their daughters. So we're going to have a wonderful concert this evening. So we have just a day full of goodness. Any questions on how today will be? Does it feel rather abundant? Yes. We hope so. We hope you feel so full to the brim that you feel like you're overflowing. And remember, if you're like me or like Gloria, you don't have to get it perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be wonderful. So just take whatever comes, whatever your soul can hold, whatever your heart can hold, so that it's overflowing, because that's who God is. In the Franciscan tradition, when we talk about God the Creator, St. Bonaventure calls that fountain fullness. That's God the Creator. Just constantly overflowing with
us. That's all. Just with love. Fountain forms. It's like the story that one of my good friend, teacher friends, told me. She took her inner city children to the ocean. They had never seen the ocean. So they're standing there just looking at it and looking at it, watching it just coming in, coming in, coming in. She couldn't get him to come to lunch. So finally she says, time for lunch. And she had to sort of pull him in. And most of them came, except one little girl. She just stood there with the mouth. She couldn't get her to come. And finally she says, now, you know, would you like to come? And she said, it just keeps flushing and flushing. God's desire today. But we just let God's love come and come and come. That's what we invite you into, in whatever way that is good for you. So I invite you, if you would, to take the yellow sheets. We'll begin with our morning prayer. But if you didn't get one, they're right over there in the chair. Attention to your breathing. Pay attention to being the beloved of God's heart, for that is who we are. In your heart, hear God say to you, calling you by name, you are the beloved of my heart, and I prefer you. Just place your hand upon your heart and listen to God speak those words. So we pray to the God who sings through us. God who sings in our hearts, as the flute needs openness to receive the breath of melody, we pray to be open to the many ways that your symphony of love plays in our lives.
Thank you. Spirit touches us and moves through our beings. Remind us often that each one of us is a special instrument of yours. Together we create the wondrous music in your concert of love.
Share the intimacy of your presence with us.
We rejoice in the harvest, but struggle with the planting.
Open our inner eyes so that we may know you in all the dimensions of our lives. Help us to trust you in the numerous ups and downs, to believe that your song can happen in all aspects of our existence.
Corners of our hearts. It is your power working through us that can do more than we ever ask or can imagine. It is your enlivening breath moving through us that enables us to overcome anxieties, fears, doubts, and misgivings.
Breathe through us, music maker. And let your song weave a melody through all we are and do. May we acknowledge your power at work in us and open ourselves to this blessing.
Thank you.
You are a God who accepts the uniqueness and beauty of every individual. You love us as we are, while you yearn for us to be more. You invite us to extend this kind of love to those who challenge our compassion and our patience. Your love within us will give us the strength to love them as we ought.
Nudge us and encourage us to accept those people who are alien to our love. May your song of kindness and patience be sung through us. Fill our attitude towards others with notes of understanding and non-judgment.
Around a bit. Look at Gloria and we just pick a phrase that I think God might want to speak. Gloria, I am a God who accepts your uniqueness and your beauty. Mary Jo, I am a God who has given you much compassion and patience.
We invite that you to do that with just one person sitting next to you as Claudia just plays our theme song very softly in the background. So just turn to that person and share a phrase with them that God you think might want to speak to them. So here we are, all the beloved of God's heart, all of us. I'd like to speak a bit about, from the scriptures, a woman who knew she was the beloved of God's heart. And I chose Mary. I asked Gloria if that'd be okay.
And I'm not going to tell you what I said.
I know there's a little difference in how Mary is.
We're tough and diverse. We can take it.
I would like to look at Mary as a woman who said yes to bearing the Christ. As a woman who had to redefine who she was in that yes, but who said yes. I would like you to imagine this account. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greetings this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. Now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. I'm sure we've all been in this position of saying yes. And as you put yourself in that position, I invite you to watch this video, which is a dancing of this wonderful scripture. I don't know if you've ever seen Betsy Beckman dance in Seattle. She dances this Annunciation. And as you watch it, I just invite you to enter in and to be asking yourself, what is your yes to being who you are? Quite go that way. So I invite you to stand. And take your scarf in your hand. And Patty, if I could ask you to return to the heart. Just take your scarf and spread yourself out in the room here a little bit so you have some room around you. You come up this way. And now, as Claudia plays, what I invite you to do is to do whatever you wish to express your yes to God with your scarf. Now, if you may just want to stand there with it. You may just want to put it over your head and let it be. You may just say, "This is silly, I'm going to sit down." Do whatever you wish. Or you may just want to do whatever comes. So let's just let ourselves go as Claudia plays our song. And so we begin. We can sing.
Thank you.
stand for a few moments in the quiet. And in your own way, in your own heart, say yes to who you are at this moment. And when you feel ready, just very quietly return to your seat. Finish about 10:15 or so, and then we'll have a coffee break until 10:45. So about 15 more minutes or so. So if you need a potty break, feel free to go. You don't have to sit in the chair suffering. We're going to now look maybe a little closer than Mary, and that's St. Francis and the Saddle. We're going to look at this poem, which talks about how we come in contact with our own loveliness. And this poem and its explanation are in this book, if you've never seen this book, 10 Poems to Open Your Heart. It's a magnificent little book on 10 different poems. I chose this one because I sort of have an affinity for St. Francis, and because I think it expresses well what we're talking about. So I'll invite Gloria to read the poem. If you didn't get a copy, they're over there on the table, as well as an explanation of it that I'll be going through, which is the green sheet and the white sheet over there. If you just want to listen, that's fine, and pick them up later. But we'll begin with the reading of the poem.
St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell in words and in touch that it is lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch blessings of the earth on the sow. And the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail. From the hard spininess spiked out from the spine, down through the great broken heart, to the blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths, sucking and blowing beneath them. The long, perfect loveliness of sound.
Isn't that wonderful? And I'd like to spend a little bit of time reflecting on it, and I'm using the green sheet. If you just want to follow, that's fine. What I'm saying is there on the sheet, and it's further explained in this book. So whatever you're comfortable with. Some people like to follow along and take notes, and some people just like to listen. So you choose the style that's best for you. The author would say that this poem acts on the cell by cell. And if we really let it happen, it can soften us. It can fill us with reverence for the whole of the living world. From the chipmunks to the deer to the rhinoceros to the flowers
to all of the persons who surround us. What it does is it brings us into the fold of all living things. And Gloria, would you tell us that story of your brother and your sister-in-law when they were out trapping and what your sister-in-law said?
My sister-in-law and brother, they are fur trappers. And she shared this story just a week and a half ago with me. She said she was out by the creek with my brother. He was checking the muskrat traps down by the creek. And so she lay on the frozen ground and looked up at the sky and then looked over and down at my brother and then saw the creek. And suddenly it was as if all was one. And then she turned and pointed to her coffee cup right there in the living room where we were sitting, and she said, "You know, Gloria, if it was as if everything was in that cup that I experienced, and if I poured it out, it all would be coffee."
Quite an insight. She doesn't belong to any church either. Isn't that quite an insight? I mean, we're all part of the same universe. Brian Schwimm, who works with this, would say, we have the universe in every cell of our body. So this poem is a blessing poem. It's full of that ancient power that can even revive our broken hearts. Because you know the sow is the most broken of many animals. It's the one in the scriptures that's unclean. And the one who lives in the slops, the one who lives in the dirt. I haven't spent a lot of time around pigs, but I understand this is the case. And, you know, they're not the cleanest of animals. And their hearts have been broken in many ways. And notice that the author makes this poem one long sentence. There's no other period except the very end. Because he wants us to recognize that we are all in this unbroken stream of blessing. And the blessing we're talking about is the blessing that is self-blessing, appreciating who we truly are. So, Chloe, would you read again the first two lines?
The bud stands for all things.
It's that feeling of wanting to live large again. On the curves of our lives. You know, sometimes we get so stuck in the little things. But this invitation is to live on the largeness of life. It's when we can get the whole picture. My 91-year-old mother would say, when we're in one of those places, this too will pass. And it's like recognizing that all of us are buds. We're all full of life coming into flower. We're all at different stages. So if you would imagine yourself as some kind of flower, and where you are in the budding process, are you tight, about ready to bloom? Are you open a little, or are you in full bloom? Where are you in this growing? No matter where we are, no matter what bud-like stage we might be in, we know that a bud is full of promise. You can't make a bud open. You know, if you try to, you sort of pull it apart. I tell my directees, you know, they're anxious for their growth to happen. I said, you can't plant the seed and then uncover it every day to see if it's growing. It doesn't work that way. You have to let it happened. You have to let it come forth from the smallest of beginnings. I live with a sister who is a gardener.
And she will often come to me in the spring with the seeds. And will say, look at this seed. You know, like a squash seed or tomato seed. And then she'll come back in the fall and say, look what happened. Look what happened from that tiny little seed. And I often think that when I'm peeling an orange and looking at all those seeds, you know, and some of those oranges, I don't want this to be an orange tree. It all has potential for growth. One day she was sitting out in her garden and she said, she came in very excited. And she said, I heard the garden growing. I heard the garden growing. It's like that. When we let ourselves be blessed, when we let ourselves be the bud opened by God's grace. So, Gloria, would you read for us the next four lines?
The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers. They flower from within of self-blessing.
Now we all long for fullness. We all long for that. And we all long to have our life be the fullest it could possibly believe. That be, that's the deepest intention that we have. You know, it's like when Betsy just goes at it there in her dancing. It's that fullness. And I'm sure there have been points in your life where you just felt like that, whether you actually danced or not, but you felt like that, and it's just full of fullness. And that comes precisely by allowing ourselves to be in our present circumstances. So, the flower of life is in bud right now in your life. So let's go back when you got up this morning. You got up this morning and you looked in the mirror. Did you say, good God, it's morning? Or did you say, good morning, God? It's in the present circumstances. The deepest blessings we will ever receive come from ourselves. And out of those blessings, we bless other people. It's not an act of the will. We can't make blessing happen. It comes from the silence in us. It's when we can stop in the silence. At one point in my life, I was very young, I think it was about 22 or 23, I'd already entered my community. I entered my community at 17. Back there in those days, you could do that. And here I was. I had taken my vows. Sister was in front of my name. My name at that time was Sister Madonna. I changed it. Back to my baptismal name, thank God. I remember, and I was teaching school. But for the first time in my life, I was doubting whether God existed or not. And here I was, you know, walking, those days, walking around in a black habit, being called sister, and I, teaching religion, saying, I don't know if I believe in this or not. And I went, it was Christmas time, and I went to the crib, which is a deeply Franciscan tradition, and I knelt before that crib. I don't have the words to describe this, but I knelt there and I said, okay, God, if you exist, you better tell me. And as I say that, I'm all filled with goosebumps because I had an experience of God that I cannot put into words in that silence. And that's what this is talking about. In our present circumstances, in the silence in us, the blessing arises. And these blessings are not always wrapped in gold, as this one wasn't. The word in French, blessure, means wound. It is the wounded healer who experiences all of the wounds of their lives. That is the one who, having dived deeply into
her own vulnerability, can recognize the stream of blessing and impart it to others. That's self-blessing. We know that truth and beauty live in us. I experienced that, and perhaps you did, Friday evening, last evening, at prayer around the cross, as I witnessed and participated in coming to this cross. There were tears, there was silence, there were children, there were candle lighting. That was all about truth and beauty living in us. We didn't say much. We simply let blessing arise in us. That's from everything from within, flowers in self-blessing. And Gloria, would you read the next lines, please?
Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and to retell it in words and in touch that it is lovely, until it flowers again from within, of self-blessing.
And that's why this is a love poem. Because we need to put our hand on the brow of one another and remind one another of our own loveliness, no matter how ugly the circumstances of our life may have gotten, no matter how much we are down there with the pigs, you know, like the prodigal daughter in the parable, you know, sitting there with the pigs saying, guess it's time to go back. It's like that with our God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God always experiences us as lovely, always. You say, well, that's true for the rest of humanity, but then there's me. No, God isn't, I'm not talking in general here. I'm talking about you and you and you and you and you and you. You're lovely, God is saying. And I'm going to spend my life, God says, and your life proving that to you. You're lovely. I'm going to put my hand on your brow and tell you, you are lovely. You are lovely, no matter what. And Francis, in the poem, the author goes on talking about the blessing on the saddle. And that part is pretty self-explanatory. It's light and dark. So that in the end, he says, the last line, the long, perfect loveliness of sound. It's just because we are, that's enough. That is enough. Just to be is the blessing. So let's close our morning by standing. Turning to that partner that you read to in the beginning. You don't need to hold anything.
Okay, all right.
This is going to be a little silent blessing. And what you will do is you'll just simply place your hand on the brow of the person, asking them, of course, if it's okay to touch them, and not to say anything, but simply to look at them, letting them know that they are lovely. And then when you're finished, the person who is getting the blessing will bless the other. We'll do that without words. So let us begin.
Picture.